All the right buttons, but oh well. Well, hey everybody, if we haven't met again, my name's Ben. I'm one of the pastors. It's good to be worshiping with you today. Even on a rainy and foggy and cloudy day, this is May, right? Is this usual May in Topeka? Jim says, I don't know. Fair enough. I'm looking forward to summer personally, but we'll take the rain when we can get it, I guess. Well, hey, we are kicking off a new series today, a series that I'm calling Scrollin', that our creative team helped us out with and put together. But we're talking about scrolling, making sense of what we see, because scrolling is what we find ourselves doing pretty often these days, right? We find ourselves, you know, you get on the phone and you're just scrolling through things. You're scrolling through Facebook. You're scrolling through Instagram. You're scrolling through Amazon to find whatever hot, trendy shorts or this summer's fashion thing. I don't know what fashion is these days anyways. And quite frankly, all of us are so, we haven't needed as many, maybe this is just me, but I haven't needed as many new clothes in this pandemic because I just haven't been wearing as many things. But apparently that's all about to change with fashion coming back. I'm curious to see what fashion is this year. I'm going to be wearing my pants, my gray pants still. I can almost guarantee you. But we find ourselves scrolling. And here's the thing. We are constantly being discipled by what we're doing, by what we are taking in. We are being discipled. Discipled is being trained up. We're being trained by what we do. We are. And that can be an uncomfortable thought sometimes. And just for me personally, that means for years I was trained up and discipled by sci-fi novels and video games. And to our younger crowd, that might seem really fun. That's maybe not the best things to be discipled by. We are discipled by what we do, and especially as many of us experience, we're scrolling and we're looking through things. We end up being discipled by that. It's worth asking a question. What is discipling you in this season? What are you being discipled by? I hope, first of all, that it's God. I hope that it's your time in relationship with God, time spent praying, time spent with fellow believers doing, this is what the church is. We are fellow believers gathered together, spending time with each other and spending time connecting with God, being discipled. I hope you're being discipled by your Bible reading, by all of the things that we as Christians do to be following Jesus rather than other things. But in this world, there often feel like there are 1,000 voices coming from more directions than I put up here, just because graphics don't let you show voices from all directions, or at least my skills don't let me. But it feels like there are 1,000 different voices. And the question is, are you listening to the ones that are helpful? And the biggest question is, are you listening to God's voice in and through everything? Are you listening to God Himself? In this series, we are going to look at some of the voices of our culture. We're gonna take a peek at them and see what voices are actually helpful, because there are voices in our culture that are helpful. The gospel affirms something in every culture, and the gospel confronts something in every culture. But often what we're going to do, what we're going to find, is that some voices that maybe aren't so helpful, they're not the voice of one individual person. They are a voice that our culture commonly listens to, what we might call a cultural force. Now, in my messages, I usually don't use the Message translation of the Bible. Anyone here familiar with the Message? A couple of people? All right. I usually don't use the Message for digging into sermons or hardcore study myself, but when I read devotionally, that is something that I turn to occasionally. The Message translation isn't a Well, it's not a translation. It's what's called a paraphrase. It means that instead of looking at this word in Greek and saying this word means this word in English, what the author of the message did is he said, you know, this is what the meaning in Greek is. I'm going to say that here in some different words and maybe expand on it a little. It's not meant to be, you know, a direct translation of the Bible, so we misuse it when we say that, but it can sometimes expand on some meanings that are pretty helpful. And I feel like the passage I'm going to put up here, Romans 12, is one of those pieces. This is something that I just want us to keep in the back of our minds as we look at this series. Romans 12, this is the Apostle Paul talking. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in with it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Our culture has, it's got a pull to it. It's got this, maybe even this weight to it. And many people have said many things over the years about what specifically it is. I'm going to advance at least one theory and what I've seen and probably what many of you have experienced in our world. But our culture has this pull of what we would call secularism. And secular, this is this word secular, it just means not having to or pertaining to religion. So if there's religion here, secular is not having to do with that stuff. That's what secular means at a base level. And we as Christians, we might rub against that the wrong way because we think that religion, but more importantly, God, is involved in every aspect of our life. And so this idea that the stuff not having to do with religion, what sometimes people claim to be secular things, we see God as being involved in that. There's this thing called, it's secular philosophy. It's philosophy of what should not deal with religious stuff. It is all over our culture, and I get it. I'm talking secular philosophy. I lost some of you already, right? It's gone. I get it. We're not going to talk about Voltaire or John Locke or Nietzsche or any of the other philosophers this series. We're not. We're going to be talking Instagram quotes because that's where the philosophy of our culture is these days. It's in Instagram quotes. We're going to be looking at the more subtle stuff, the stuff that all of us, we can scroll past and maybe not even recognize. But it's the stuff we encounter in our everyday walking around lives. And we're going to see how it measures up to what we Christians believe and practice. I want to ask, have you ever heard this phrase, you be you? Anyone? It's going to be really awkward if no one raises their hands. Okay, I'm seeing nodding heads. Ooh, I thought I'd really misread us for a little bit. That scared me. But you be you. We hear that pretty frequently these days, especially those of us, I wish Jesse was sitting there, but no, I'm betting you hear this at school sometimes. But our kids, our students, our teens, our students in their 20s, I say students, adults in their 20s, they hear this all the time. We see it on Instagram posts, ads, even just saying it to friends. And what we mean by this phrase, you be you, it can vary. It can vary quite a bit, actually. I have said you be you to a friend before, and what I was referring to there was my enjoyment of Chick-fil-A's Polynesian sauce. And I was saying I enjoyed Polynesian sauce. He enjoyed Chick-fil-A sauce, and I said, hey, you be you. I'll enjoy this, and you can enjoy that. I have since come around on Chick-fil-A sauce, so much so that my dad is sitting right there. My mom and dad are visiting us this weekend, and my dad and mom brought me I should have brought it, this like 18-ounce, did you know you can buy Chick-fil-A sauce straight from the store now? Like straight from, you work at Homeland, so you got it at Homeland, but you can buy it now. That is not a good sign for our waistlines, at least mine. But now I split time with Chick-fil-A sauce and Polynesian, so I don't offend either side. I split my time pretty evenly there. But that's a way of saying, hey, you be you. You've got your likes. That's great. I like my stuff. And that's great. That's fine. There are personal differences that each and every one of us have. We know that. We know that we're different, and that's a good thing, because, man, it would be really boring if we were all the same, if we all did the same stuff, all looked the same. That'd be super boring. And we are in our world is many things, but it is most certainly not a boring world. We even saw 2 weeks ago when I preached about the love passage in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, we saw that there are different ways that God might call even us Christians to respond to the same passage. That the same passage might mean one thing for me, and it might mean that you need to respond differently. That is all fine and good. That's not what UBU, I think, talks about. Where UBU gets into a little bit more of a dangerous territory, where it gets more difficult, is when it is used as a weapon. Hey, UBU, I'll be me. You know, it's that end of conversation thing. Like, I think of a small kid saying, hey, you can't tell me what to do. That's how we sometimes hear this phrase used. You be you, I'll be me, I'll decide what I want to do. And don't you dare try and tell me anything about it. It may be even more dangerous than that. It leaves our identity. It can leave who we are in our own hands, that we convince ourselves that we are the ones who get to choose who we become. And absolutely, we do get to choose to a degree who we become. We can choose to do good things. We can choose to do bad things. I can choose to go cycling and lift weights, or I can choose to eat Cheetos all day. And sometimes that Cheetos pull is... Sometimes I want to do it that way, but I can choose which way to do. You know, we do choose things about ourselves. That is absolutely true. We do choose who we get to become. But at a base level, we have to recognize that we don't have ultimate authority over who we are and what our identity is. It gets dangerous when we decide, you know, I am fine just the way I am. Nobody should have to tell me anything. I'm perfect just as is. Because I don't think that's true for any of us. I'm looking at you, Dad. I'm just going to mention, I doubt you will contradict me on this. I was a pretty sarcastic kid, teen, adult. Is that fair to say? There was a bit of sarcasm in me. I was a kid that was very sarcastic. I always I tried to have a quick comeback. I wasn't ever actually that quick on my feet, but I could think of something later, and I'd wait for it in the conversation, and then it would come. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that. That was me definitely as a teenager. But I was sarcastic. That was a big part of what I saw as my identity. I was the guy who could find a way to be sarcastic about just about anything. And what sarcasm is, you know, it's this belief that I actually know something about this, and I'm in on the joke, whatever the joke is. I'm smart enough to be in on the joke. That's what sarcasm was for me, at least. And I hope that's not something you, as our church, have experienced from me lately. It's something I am trying to move away from, certainly, but it was tied up in my identity for a long time that I was the guy that was snarky and sarcastic. And I have to imagine that wasn't always the most pleasant to be around for my family, for friends, for people I was hanging out with. And I don't know whether it's sarcasm or whether it's being aggressive or, I mean, you can fill in the blank with whatever personality trait you want here, but sometimes we wrap our identity up in something that is maybe less helpful, and then we say, hey, that's just me being me. You be you, I'll be me. What's unstated there, the truth hidden behind those words, is that it never lets us call others and ourselves to better. You be you says, hey, I'm good as is. You're good as is, I'm good as it is, that is all. It never lets us be called to a better way. And I want to say this, you do not have to change in order to be loved by God. That is something that we as Christians believe, because God loved each and every one of us as sinners. Like, God loves us. We do not have to change to be loved by God, because God loves each and every one of us. But God also, because he loves us, invites us to a better way. God says, there is a better path forward. There is better for you, and your life is going to be better if you follow this good way, the Jesus way. And sometimes what God invites us to and what God invites us away from is pieces of our identity, like me being sarcastic. I think God invited me away from that, and I hope that I am pursuing that path there. So I'm going to invite us to look at this in Scripture. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5 in your Bible, on your phone. It'll be up on the screen too. And we're going to reflect on what this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, means for our identity. It means for us to have a purpose, a meaning beyond ourselves. So let's see, 2 Corinthians 5. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently do we know him now? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. There are so many things in that passage to explore. From being Christ's ambassadors, the people God has trusted to bring the message of Jesus to this world. But what I want to focus on is that first piece. This means that anyone, in verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Other translations talk about this as becoming a new creation. When we accept the invitation to follow Jesus, when we start our lives down the Jesus way, the following Jesus path, the old life is gone, the new life has come. Because we recognize that Jesus has paid it all for us. That Jesus has forgiven our sins, that Jesus has invited us to step away from shame, that Jesus has gotten us away from the hostage taker, which is Satan and death, that Jesus has declared victory, that he has won already on the cross. And because of all that, because Jesus has saved us from our sins and all of those other things, we recognize that our identity, who we are as Jesus followers, it's not just up to us. Our identity as Jesus followers is not just up to us. We owe Jesus, our Lord and Savior, everything. When we recognize that Jesus has forgiven us so much and that Jesus came from heaven to save us, We owe him everything. And as part of this whole deal, Jesus invites us to be like him. We are his ambassadors to the world. And to be an ambassador to somebody, you have to look a little bit like who you are representing. You have to know who you're representing. You have to represent them well. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." There we go. You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Paul's not saying be like me. He's saying I'm trying to imitate Christ. You guys should do that too. We should all be imitating Christ because we are his followers. This cultural statement of UBU has a finality to it. It's got a UBU, you know, ease off there. You are good just the way you are. And sometimes that is, like, it's this odd tension of, yes, we are accepted and beloved creations of God our Father, and God is also inviting us to better. God is inviting us always, no matter whether you are a person who has never considered yourself a Christian, you're just watching because your curiosity was piqued and you're interested, you're coming to church for the first time, or whether you have been here since this church began. You've been in church your whole life. Jesus is inviting each and every one of us, wherever we are on that spectrum, to one step closer to him. UBU says, sit back and relax. But the truth that we don't hear is that we're called to better, to living lives of love, grace, mercy, truth, to lives of taking care of others. And I don't know about you, but when I'm sarcastic, when I'm aggressive towards people, when I am not the Jesus part of me, when I live away from the Jesus part of me and I live in the part of me that does those sarcastic and aggressive things, I'm probably not the best ambassador of Jesus to my friend whose kid is having a medical event, who is needing somebody to walk alongside them. I'm probably not somebody that my neighbor is going to call to help with their fence that got knocked down by the windstorm. Granted, they probably wouldn't call me anyways because I'm a terrible handyman, but that's besides the point. I can sit there and lift things. I can at least do that. But when I am if I am somebody that is not living into the Jesus part of my life, I can't be an ambassador for him. And being an ambassador for Jesus is who each and every one of us are called to be. UBU pretends to be open and welcoming, but it doesn't invite people to better and best. And when you love somebody, especially the way that Jesus loves each and every one of us, you want the best for that person. So as I wrap up, I want to mention a couple of ways that this might interact with you and might interact with your life. You might be someone who has taken UBU to heart. You might be somebody who that is very much a part of your philosophy, how you live your life. And I want to say, if that is you, you are a beloved creation of God our Father. You are loved intensely, amazingly, and in words that we can't even comprehend. And you are also invited to better. Jesus, the way of Jesus teaches us that we are to live lives that are transformed from lives of sin into lives of mercy, grace, truth, and love. And so I want to say, if you haven't accepted the invitation to follow Jesus, if that concept is foreign to you but is something that you feel a tugging in your heart to move towards, I want to invite you to connect with me. Connect with me after the service. If you're somebody online, shoot me a message or an email. I'd be glad to talk with you more. But we always recognize that the way of Jesus is going to be the best path. Come to Jesus, come follow him into better. You might be somebody who you wouldn't say UBU is your whole life philosophy, but you've got something a little bit different about you. You've got something odd or strange. And you like that because it helps you stand out from the crowd. How many people in here know I like disc golf? Every hand should be, you don't all have to raise them, I'm kidding. You all know that, right? I like that being a weird part of me. Like, disc golf is not everybody's favorite sport. I get it, that's fine. Not everyone has to know how awesome it is. But there's a part of my identity that likes being known as, hey, I'm the disc golf guy. I like disc golf stuff. There's part of me that likes having something that helps me stand out. But the truth is, every one of us, and especially you, if you feel this way, like you feel that you need something that helps you stand out from the crowd, you are a beloved creation of God, our Father. You have insurpassable worth, and you are precious to Him. Your worth does not come from what you do, but who you are. And if you feel like you have to put on a show or put on a mask or do something to gain attention, and that's you being you, I just want to encourage you that you already have God's attention. Maybe a good step forward for you is dropping the mask, is not putting on whatever piece of your personality you feel like has to be a little bit contrived to gain the attention. You are worth it as you are. And so maybe your step forward would be connecting with somebody else and dropping that pretense, dropping the mask for a little bit, just hanging out with somebody. Maybe it's going to a coffee with somebody or going to lunch with somebody here after the service. I don't know. But connect with someone. Connect with them fully and see that they will love you even without whatever your thing is. Finally, you might be somebody who this whole sermon has kind of been confusing. Like, I don't resonate with any of this. I don't know why people would. It seems weird, and you don't know why people would feel this way. I want you to know you are a beloved creation of God our Father. And following Jesus means inviting people towards Him. This philosophy, it's in our culture, and it is a lot of places. Maybe God stepped forward for you this week. If this is not something that connects with you, if you're not sure why we're even talking about this, maybe God stepped forward for you in response to this sermon today is to pray for somebody who is. Pray for somebody who you know in your life that feels this way, that feels like they just have to, that who they are is good as is, but also that there's this loss and there's this unwillingness to be invited to better. Be praying for them. Maybe invite them to be with you, to hang out, to read the Bible together, even just to talk. Coffee is a great thing. I didn't used to like coffee. Coffee is a wonderful thing to share and just to talk with people, but invite somebody into the conversation, because every person on this world, every person on earth is made in the image of the living God. Who they are is insurpassably valuable, and they're invited to the best life that they can live, and we believe that is life following Jesus. Wherever this hits you, I pray that you'll resist the temptation of our culture to settle for the bland, to settle for the just, you know, I'll be me, you be you. But instead that we will each move one step closer to Jesus, because that's the Jesus way. I'm going to pray for us and ask for God to help us however we're going to respond this week. God Almighty, we know that you value us. You value each and every one of us so much that you came down from heaven as Jesus to suffer and to die on the cross to save us. We are valuable to you. And yet at the same time, you are also wanting us to live the best possible lives, because that's what love does. Love wants the best. And so you want better for each and every one of us. And you want better for our culture than to just you be you, I'll be me, Whatever's good for me is good for me, and whatever's good for you is good for you. God, you invite us to better. And that's hard, and that's good. We ask, Lord, that as you help us interact with this philosophy that we see so much in our culture, that you would help us engage wisely and well. Because each and every one of the people we encounter is of insurpassable worth being made in your image. And you also want best for each and every one of us. God, help us connect with you in your way, because we know that that is best. Help us connect others to you in your way, because that is going to be best for them. Help us live wisely and well, and always called further into relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Really quickly, before I dismiss us today, I'm going to invite Brian. Brian, if you want to come up. Brian is one of our elders. They're the team that that guides us through big picture decisions and just a variety of other things as our church. And Brian, you've got an announcement from our elder team today. Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know that the elder team met on Tuesday night, and one of the things that we talked about was our COVID policy and masks. And we came to the decision that as of next Sunday, masks will be optional in the worship service. We feel that the vaccination, obviously, CDC also, actually after we made that decision, the guidance that they put out really affirmed the decision that we had made. So we want to make sure that, you know, masks are optional. Absolutely. If you feel that you need to wear one, we want you to feel that to be able to do that. But that they will be optional. We know that this is not, not everybody's going to be happy with this decision. It was one of those decisions when we set it out, not everybody's going to be happy. It's just something that we have to work through. And we just have to remember that we're all people in Jesus. We all love each other. And, you know, we're going to sometimes disagree, but we just got to move forward in the best way to love each other and to show who we are. We show by our love.
Yeah, I'm going to be somebody, because of my connection to Caitlin, you're probably going to be seeing me in a mask for a while, not just for COVID, but with Caitlin moving into her health season, with being in a more serious place with her heart, I'm probably going to be wearing a mask for a bit, just as we continue to navigate allergies and COVID and all the other stuff. You are welcome to wear a mask. We know that the CDC says that you are good if you are vaccinated, and we know that some of our young friends are not able to be vaccinated, our kids. And so we want to make sure that we're trying to take care of them as best possible, too. It's never a good idea to run up and just hug a random kid. I would encourage that for a multitude of reasons. Don't just run up and hug random kids anyways. But we want to make sure that we're living the best way possible. But we also know that, praise God, it's getting a little bit safer. All of our staff here has been vaccinated. So Christy, myself, Pastor Susan, and with the prevalence of vaccines coming, that is celebratory and worthwhile. So, Brian, thanks for sharing with us. That'll go into effect next week. If you want some details, we'll put something out on the website that'll have a little bit more details there. But that is exciting news, and praise God. I hope that this is a step closer to whatever normal is going to look like. But most of all, we keep moving forward towards God, because wherever we're at on any particular issue, that's where we want to be moving. So, Brian, thanks. Appreciate you. Appreciate the elders' work. I'm just going to release us with a blessing. May you go being the you who God has created you to be. Not being the you that our culture says you need to be or want to be or choose to be, but being the being of insurpassable worth, made in God's image. Go forward being God's ambassadors this week. Blessings to you. Take care. Go in peace.